We're all on a journey in life. Some people know where they're going, and some people don't. The difference? It's knowing your origin story and finding your way home. You have to know where you came from if you're gonna know where you're going. We believe that there is a God, and He made you for a journey, a life of adventure. Crossroads exists to help you get there. We're going all the way back to the beginning of the story in Genesis to find our way home to promises. Tests take us higher. To find out how, we need to go back to the beginning of the story in Genesis. Welcome to Crossroads. I'm Brian. In this episode, we're going to help you find your way home. And that way home might take some twists, it's going to take some turns, there's going to be challenges that are going to arise along the way. For a man named Abraham, his way home did exactly that. I've been to Israel maybe 15 times, and the first time it struck me most was the centrality of the story that I'm going to tell you today. It's a story that I always thought wasn't just quirky, but it was just downright annoying and troubling. It didn't fit my Western sensibilities. But yet, church after church where I went to in the Holy Land, location after location, featured artwork, carvings, sculptures that depict the story of Abraham taking his son Isaac up a mountain to be sacrificed. It's a crazy story. It's a troubling story. I didn't like this story, but I thought, I've got to dig into this more because this is obviously a huge thing here in the Holy Land. And we end up finding out that our God has a very powerful future for us, but there are some things we're going to have to get through in the moment. God had promised Abraham that He would make him into a great nation, and He had specifically repeatedly called out that it would be through Isaac, his eldest firstborn. All of the promises that God has made to Abraham are contingent on Isaac, his firstborn, as his heir, not just in terms of how DNA operates, but in terms of cultural expectations in which Abraham lived. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, God says to Abraham, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Now bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is the founding of the nation of Israel, the Hebrew nation. Abraham is that founder. And this is the original vision statement that God gives him. So you're going to start small, but you're going to grow and grow and grow and grow. And you're going to raise the water level of everybody in the world. At least this is the vision that I have for you. And then God says this in Genesis 15:5. He brought him outside and he said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. See all these lights up in the stars? You see them all? They all represent the number of people who are going to trace back to you. This wouldn't just be who he actually gave birth to, but who they gave birth to, who they gave birth to, and so on, so on. Actual exponential growth. Abraham hears this and he laughs. He's like, "What? What kind of crazy high vision is this?" He goes home and he tells his wife, Sarah, says, "Guess what God told me? We're going to go higher, and there's going to be so many of us, it's going to outnumber the stars in the sky." And Sarah laughs too, but her laugh is one of derision, where Abraham's like, "Oh, this is amazing." Sarah's like, "Oh, yeah, right, right. Yeah, like, if you notice that I'm through menopause right now, if you notice that we haven't had any kids up to date, and now all of a sudden in old age, it's going to, oh, yeah, right, exactly." They actually have a son. It's a miraculous thing God does for them. And they name their son Isaac, which in Hebrew means laughter. It's a remembrance for the rest of their life, a reminder for the rest of their life that they didn't believe God initially. They thought it was ridiculous. Every time they say his name, they're remembering the vision God had for them and how he's bringing it through. This is happening in a time when nations all around him, all the other nations that were around him, commonly practice sacrifice, not just sacrifice, but child sacrifice. Up to this point, God doesn't really say anything about sacrifice one way or the other. So therefore, Abraham is like us. All of us live in this sort of religious, spiritual environment in America. And the spiritual religiosity of America, whichever corner of America we're in, it kind of rubs off on us. And so when we come to God, or the God of the Bible, we bring all of these thoughts, some of them true, some of them baggage, to our relationship with God, just because everyone else believes this, everyone else thinks this, so this must be the way God is. And sometimes there's tension in our relationship because of this. For anybody to not practice child sacrifice would be an anomaly. Because everybody around Abraham did that. It would be the highest form of sacrifice. So to go higher with your God, you do the highest form of sacrifice, which is child sacrifice. This would have just been the goo and the mentality that Abraham would have had. With that as a backdrop, in Genesis 22, 21, he starts going higher and the plot thickens. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." God's name is Yahweh. That's his name. It means I am. I am sovereignly independent of all creation. And he says to Abraham, he calls to him, and Abraham's response is like, forcing Abraham to actually say the identity of God. "Here I am. Here I am. I understand you. I'm with you." He says, "Take your son." That's a build. "Your only son." That's a bigger build. "Whom you love." That's a bigger build. "And start making your way higher. Start getting up on the mountain." Oh my gosh. Abraham senses where this is going. And I don't think that he likes it.
Hey, we're here real quick to talk to you about giving, because it hasn't always been the easiest thing for us, or at
least
for me. I remember a time when every time I gave, it felt like the stupidest thing ever, because I was lessening what I have. And it really just pressed me into this place of like, do I believe that God's really my provider or not, you know?
That's a real question. And if you want to ask that question and put that to the test, you can give right now by simply going to the Crossroads app. On your home screen, you'll see your profile in the bottom corner, and at the top, a little gear. And once you click that, you'll see give. And you can do that right now.
That's it right now. Let's get back to Brian's message.
What do we do when God asks us to do something we don't expect and we don't like? Abraham has a choice to make. Is he going to do this thing that God's asked him to do, or is he going to move on with his life and ignore God's test? Let's go back to our story in Genesis from chapter 22, verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Imagine how Abraham must have felt. He had to believe that this God, his God, was different, that he wouldn't be asked to do something as crazy as this. Like, man, I was hoping this God wasn't like the ones that did the child sacrifice thing. Okay. Yet he ultimately chooses to obey. The story continues. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Isaac was likely not a small child during this time. He's asked to carry firewood up the mountain, and he had to keep up with at least three grown men, Abraham and two others, on a multiple day hike. It also, when it says in this chapter, when it refers to him as a boy, that word in Hebrew is translated sometimes as young man, sometimes as youth, sometimes as man. So this doesn't have to be 6-year-old Isaac. he's aware probably of what's happening, and he's got to keep up with these grown men. How many miles is a three-day walk, plus another day actually climbing the mountain, which this passage says happens? According to REI, which is one of the greatest stores in the U.S. of A, any REI fans, oh my goodness, they've taken more money than just about any store has. When you consult REI and how to plan a backpacking trip, they say that most people hike 3 to 10 miles per day during a hike. Abraham is at least 100 years old, and he's walking multiple miles a day in obedience. How many of us would have stopped walking just out of the inconvenience of our feet hurting after a day of hiking? Oh, it's hard. Following God is hard. I have to walk 3 times. Oh, it's so difficult. That's my impression of average churchgoers. We just assume that if God wants us to do something, it's going to be easy and it's going to be happy and it's going to be nice, and God's going to dip his sweet little sugar finger down into our life and make everything happy and give us unicorns and lollipops. And yet here we have Abraham taking a grueling multi-day hike to do an emotionally grueling thing of sacrificing his son. Let's keep going. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." Maybe he's got these young men in addition to Isaac because he needs some muscle. Maybe he's thought ahead and he's thought, if I'm going to have to sacrifice him on an altar, he's not going to like it, and I'm going to need some other people to actually manhandle him and put him down. You got to realize here, Abraham thinks that he's going to be killing Isaac at the top of this mountain. And I've got to think that he also thinks that somehow, God's going to get him out of this. Maybe he's thinking that somehow God's going to bring Isaac back to life. He's just wrestling with you've blessed me with this son. You're doing something I thought that you as a God wouldn't ask me to do. Not only that, it contradicts the promise you've given me to multiply my descendants. There's got to be some end here that you're working toward, but I just don't understand it. That's the way it is with us. God tells us a step to take, but we don't really understand how it's going to end or what God's going to ultimately do. We've got to ultimately just trust in God. And this is brutal. It's agonizing for Abraham, and this is the way it's going to be with us. Your level of discomfort will be commensurate with the level of your vision. Your degree of pain will be commensurate to the degree of the purpose that God has for you. God's purpose always corresponds to the pain you're going to experience on the way to that purpose. It's not the higher the goal, the easier it is. It's the higher the goal, the more difficult it is. And your ability to endure pain and difficulty, and I hate saying this because I wish this wasn't true, but your ability to endure pain and endure difficulty will be directly related to the heights in which you will go and the things that God will do in and through you. Right now, we've got this church, Crossroads. I helped start it 26 years ago. And man, I just thought that everything was going to be easy. I thought if God's in it, all is going to be good. He's going to just pour blessings on us. It's going to be great. And the story of my life with our church has been one brutal thing after another. It's just never stopped. Go to a vision of multi-site, having multiple campuses in different locations. Go to a vision of having a digital church where you don't have to actually go to a physical place, but you can actually be one as a church, not just so we have more people, so we have a cohesive movement, a cohesive people who can bite off big chunks, like sponsoring children through Compassion International, like going after child sex slavery, like spreading the word of God in places that other people may be afraid to do. We need an army for that. And it's just, man, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. No, it's been hard. Every step has just been brutal. It's been brutal for me emotionally. It's been brutal for me financially. It's been brutal for me relationally. And one of the ways that I keep myself going is by reading the very word of God, reading the Bible. That's why we are right now in the Bible Challenge as a church. 2022 is the year of the Bible Challenge. And I encourage you, man, get in your Bible, because it's here you understand the call of God and how to do the call of God. It might not be in a page. It might be one of the places I do it about every day in the Crossroads app. Do you know where you're going? To get different results in life, you're going to have to do some different things. And if you're up for adventure this year, do the Bible challenge with me. Read every day, get inspired, and see what others are saying. I believe the Bible is more than a book that's meant to sit on a shelf and just collect dust. It's meant to take you somewhere in life. What about you? Where are you going? Download the Crossroads app and do the Bible challenge today. Just today I was going through Proverbs chapter 14:4, which was in the app, and there is a verse in there that it never hit me like it hit me this morning. It says, when there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. It's being said there, if you want great crops, if you want more fruit in your life, get ready to clean a lot of poop. If you're a farmer, you want abundant crops, you need oxen to help you bring those crops in, and you've got to house those oxen. There's going to be a lot of poop. You're going to have to shovel a lot of manure out of stalls. Now, I feel like I've been shoveling manure for most of my life. And I wouldn't have to shovel the same amount of manure I do if it was just me and God having quiet times together and if God was just raining blessings on me. But when God's going to ask you to go higher, you're going to need other people. You're going to need oxen around you. And where there are people, there are problems. And where there's problems, there's poop. You learn this. I wish I could tell you another word, but you know, it's church. So I got to use the P word. But do the Bible challenge with me. You will not regret it. Let's keep going. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 6, it says this. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. It's starting to sink in for Isaac that this may not end well for him. He's carrying wood. You know, again, I think he's a young man here. He's carrying wood. He's like, I get the gig. I see a rock. There's normally something sacrificed on a rock. I got the wood for it. But like, where's the animal? Is Abraham just not telling the whole truth by saying, well, God will provide? As in, you're the lamb, but I don't want to tell you? Or is Abraham having a level of trust that God's going to get him out of this? We don't really know. All we know is he's going forward. All we know is that he is obeying. And this is part of why this story is so pivotal. And in all those churches and sculptures I talked about earlier when I'm in Israel, because this is a precursor to what Jesus is going to do. It's one of the through lines that goes throughout the entire Bible. Jesus carried wood up a hill. He carried his cross up to Calvary, up to Golgotha. And he, this very Son of God, was the sacrifice of God. Now, you're going to see in a moment, just spoiler alert, God is not going to have him kill Isaac. The only justified child sacrifice that's ever happened in the Bible was the very child of God, the Son of God, crucified on a cross. And that Son also went there knowingly and willingly. Abraham doesn't know all this. He's just doing what God is asking him to do. He's been obedient up to this moment. And he's passed every test. Go in that direction. Got it. Take your son. Good. Got it. Walk and go that. Got it. Take wood for you. Good. Got it. Everything. Take fire with you. Got it. All that stuff he's got. But now here it is. Here is the moment. Binds Isaac, lays him on an altar that wouldn't have looked all that much different than this. And here is the son that God has given you in your old age, the son that God has promised, the son upon which is your future, the son that is the fulfillment of the purpose and the promise for your life. And here he is laying on an altar, maybe crying, terrified, as you stand over him with the knife. as he pulls up that knife, God intercedes at the last minute and he commends him for his faithfulness. It's amazing. It's amazing. Again, as barbaric as this sounds to our ears and as barbaric as it is to Abraham and other people, it wasn't all that barbaric and unusual because they would do this sort of thing. Their God would do this sort of thing. And here's what happens in Genesis 22, verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Calls back to the beginning of this passage. Calls him again. "Here I am, here I am, here I am." Saying the name of God by saying, "Here I am." And God says, "Your son, your only son." He reminds him of that. God says, "Don't do it. Don't have to do it. Now I know. Now I know." God stops him to show that God is different from all the other gods. He doesn't want child sacrifice. And God also is going to be the one who makes the sacrifice. Our motives and our intentions are great, but they don't signal to God that we're ready for his promises. It doesn't matter what you do. "Oh, I had every intention of doing that." Great, you had every intention. So what? Did you do it? God doesn't care that we have every intention to do something. He doesn't care what our goal is. He cares whether or not we do it. God knows your heart based on what you do. Not based on what you say, not based on what you think, but on what you do. One of the attributes of God is that he is omniscient. He knows all things. Yet because we know he knows all things, sometimes we allow that to cloud our understanding of what happens in certain Bible verses like this. God says here very clearly, he says, "Now I know that you love me more than your son. Now I know that you love me more than you love the vision for your life. Now I know." We have to see, let's just take God at face value. What's he say? He says, "Abraham, you've just increased my knowledge base of who you are. You've just passed a test." Not a test that just qualifies you for the next thing. This isn't just a test where it's a test for Abraham and test is how we learn. We all know that. That's why we hated school, at least I did. But I know that if I didn't have a test to cram for, I never would have learned anything. But it's not just that kind of test that prepares Abraham. It's also a test that tells God what Abraham is made of. God knows that he can trust you based on what you do. God knows that you're ready for more based on how you obey. God knows what you're up for based on how you follow through. Now, thankfully for Isaac, Abraham obeys God in this specific moment and doesn't have to go through with the human sacrifice. Let's see how the story concludes. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Name this mountain is named Moriah, which means the Lord will provide. Abraham learns that God has provided for him. Not only has he provided him a vision and a purpose of promise, he's actually provided a ram. And thankfully, Abraham doesn't have to go through it. He's just right up. He's ready to go. He's ready to do it. Stop. God provides the ram. When I came to understand this story and understand the heart of God and things that I needed to do, it caused me to name our third and final child after this story. Moriah is her name. She might not know that because we know her by Dit her whole life. That's her nickname. If you know Moriah, she preferred to be called Dit. Just call her Little Dit. She likes that. But Moriah, and whenever I say Moriah or I think of her, I think of the ways that God has provided for me again and again and again. And he will provide for you as well. But there's something powerful about provision on the back end of making difficult decisions and doing difficult things on the way to purpose. That's when the provision means something to us. Let's finish out this story. It says this, "And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven, and he said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. God reiterates everything he said before. You're going to have descendants that multiply like the stars. I'm going to bless you. All people are going to be blessed. You're going to raise the water level with other people. And here we are today. I'm here today because of what Abraham did. You're here today because of what Abraham did, because faithful people came to you with the very word of God. The covenant is reiterated for him, and he goes forward. The testing of Abraham is the thing that sets him up to be the central figure in our faith. And out of his lineage comes the Messiah. This is what the book of James says in chapter 2. This is the New Testament portion of the Bible looking back on this story. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, the faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. We're not justified by our works, meaning we're not justified before God to get to heaven by our works. Our works don't get us to heaven. Jesus' work gets us to heaven. But this verse is saying we're justified that we actually have faith. We're showing ourselves and God that we actually have saving faith when we're actually doing things that are motivated by faith, when we're moving, when we're walking. A few key takeaways from this so you can get on with your life and you can start winning and start going higher and passing tests. One is this: God gives Abraham a chance to win. He gives him a chance. Sometimes the difficult things God gives us we don't like, but it's actually a chance for us to win and go higher. The second thing is God's love language is obedience. That's his love language. His love language isn't talk. His love language isn't intention. His love language is obedience. He wants us to do what we're doing. In fact, his love language is obedience over accuracy. I meet so many people today who just feel frozen and not knowing what to do because they want to make sure they get it right. Oh, I don't know exactly what God wants my career to be. Is this the person that I'm really supposed to marry right here? Is this the thing I'm supposed to do? And we get so fixated on getting it right that we don't actually move. Abraham didn't understand everything, but based on what he did have a good sense of, he moved on. We can't wait and be paralyzed by having full confirmation in total clarity. We have to move on what we know. That's part of the test. We have to be obedient in that. Third, tests inform us and they inform God. These tests inform us who we are, and they also inform God who we are. What is it that God's asked you to do, and are you doing it? What is that? It's different for all of us. God has similar standards for all of us. Certain things like loving our neighbor, honoring his commandments, being a blessing to the world, tithing, giving the first 10% of your income to your local church, telling the truth. All these things are things that all of us in the family of God just have to obey. But then there's other things like, what am I supposed to do with my occupation? Who am I supposed to marry? These things, you generally know enough to take a step, take that step. And that test will determine the next opportunity God gives you. God still keeps his promises today. He does. He keeps his promises as we move and we obey and we fulfill the test that he has given us. He's got a promise for you. He does. There's a higher place he wants to take you. I believe that completely. He's got a love and a tenderness for you that you probably find hard really believing. But he's for you. He's not for you having an easy life. He's for you. And that means our Heavenly Dad will stretch us, and he'll push us to see what we're made of and prepare us for the purpose that he's created us for. There's a song that we sing, and I like this song a lot. It speaks to what we're talking about today. It's about the promises of God. Why don't we sing this song together? And tell God that we're thankful for him, and tell ourselves, I'm up for passing the test of obedience on the way to fulfilling the promise that you have for me.
the setting, same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. I put my faith in Jesus, my
let me down.
I'll still bless.
He'll bless you by trusting in you even when I don't feel like you're close right now.
I'll still bless.
I will bless you by pushing towards the things that you want me to do, God, even when it's difficult.
I'll still bless.
I will bless you by showing you a heart that's full and open to whatever you have for me.
I'll still pray.
I will bless you by loving the people you brought around my life and blessing them.
I'll still bless.
I will bless you by giving you my whole life, no matter what's around the corner.
Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
Let's pray together. God, I'm thankful for the faith of Abraham, for the obedience of Abraham. I'm challenged by it. And quite frankly, many times I don't like it, but I'm better for it. God, we give you the rest of our week. We want to look for the opportunities to be obedient and step out, even when we don't have all the information, and we might not even like it. I recognize you as a God who provides rams. I'm a God who provides purpose. I thank you for this. And we commit to walk in it this week. Amen.
Hey, you know that app I mentioned earlier that you can give in? We are actually doing the Bible Challenge in that same app. And it is as simple as downloading the Crossroads app, which, by the way, is for free. And in that app, we read and we journal, and it's all going down right here.
You're doing it, I'm doing it, thousands of other people.
That's right.
It's been great so far. Second thing we have for you with that is a guidebook on Genesis. There's a bunch more in here about Abraham, stuff that Brian didn't have a chance to get to. It's all in here. It's all free. We'll mail it to your house. Just go to crossroads.net/Bible Challenge to get one of these.
We'll see you guys next week.
You know, if you follow God, you're in the family. That's good news. I'll give you even better news. There's a blessing for being in the family. The Genesis story unlocks for us how you actually get that blessing.